The ninth parak is a fairly complex parak that focuses on Tumas Ochlim and Tumas Nevelos. What's Tumas Ochlim and Tumas Nevelos? So Tumas Ochlim is when we have a food, if it is a minimum size of a beitza, then it can give Tuma over. When it becomes Tame, it can give Tuma to other foods as well. So that's Tumas Ochlim. And Tumas Nevelos, when something has the status of a Nevela, for example, it came from a Nevela, and it can be Metame Tumas Nevelos, as long as it's the size of a Kazayas, not a Kabetza, even less, it will be Metame other things as well. What we're going to focus on in Mishnah Aleph is, when it comes to these types of Tumas, are we only talking about meat itself, for example, as the food, Tumas Ochlim, that makes up the baits, or can we add in other parts of the animal as well? So Mishnah Aleph says we're going to have a divergence between the Tumas Ochlim and Tumas Nevelos. When it comes to Tumas Ochlim, we are going to be able to add certain things as well to combine to make the size of a kibetza, such that when we have a kibetza, it can be metame other things. And when it comes to Tumas Nevelos, we are not going to aggregate these other items on the list. Mishnah Aleph says as follows, Ha'or v'harotev, the or is the skin of the animal that was slaughtered, v'harotav is the gravy that comes out of it, v'hakipah, spices that were added to the food that you wouldn't eat those spices independently, v'ha'alal, these are small shreds of meat that are stuck to the skin after it has been skinned off of the animal, v'hatzamos, these are bones literally, but it's talking about bones that have marrow in it, v'hagidim, those are sinews that are typically not eaten by themselves, so that's why it can't be metame independent, any of these things, only together with the meat. V'hakarnayim, which are the horns, but it's not talking about the hard part, it's talking about the part that is closer to the animal's head. And then hatlafayim, similar, those are the hooves, but it's talking about right above the hoof, the soft area. In all of these cases, mitzarfin litame tumas ochalim, we will add in all of these items on the list to add together. As long as we have meat also, they will be aggregated together to make up a kibetza. But any of these items by themselves, we would not treat them like meat. They would not be able to be metame. Even if we have a kibetza of just the or, the rotav, etc., that would be not sufficient. Davalog tumas nevelos, when it comes to tumas nevelos, that we need a kazayas, we need the meat itself. We would not aggregate it together with any of the other items that we just listed. Kiyotsebo, similarly, when it comes to tuma, hashochet, behema, if somebody, a Jew, shechts an animal, a non-kosher animal for a non-Jew, and it is still twitching, so it hasn't had a halachic death yet. But what's interesting is, for our purposes, we would consider it food. So it's metame tumas ochlim. As long as we have that kazayas, it would be metame other things. But for the non-Jew, it's still, he still can't eat it because it is considered Aver min achai. So the non-Jew can't eat it, but for our purposes, not that we can eat it, it's treif, but we would consider it ochlin in order to be metame other things. Avalot tumas nevelos, again, this shechita that we have, this animal, would be considered tumas ochlin, but not tumas nevelos. Why? Because it's from a live animal. It's not a nevela yet, so it only has the status of a nevela that it can be metame like a nevela ad shetamud, until the animal is no longer twitching and thrashing around. So that would be halachic death, or ad sheyantis at rosha, or until the full head is cut off. That means the spinal column is cut as well. So even then, if it's thrashing around, it's still considered halachically dead and would be metame tumas nevelos. So we see in these two examples that we just saw, we have two circumstances that we are marbe. We have more times that we have tumas ochlim than tumas nevelos, both in the two clauses that we had, that we aggregate other items together with the meat for the tumas ochlim, but not for the tumas nevelos. And also when it comes to shechting the treif animal for the non-Jew, that we said that as long as it's still thrashing around, it's going to have tumas ochlim and not tumas nevelos. So to recap that, the Mishnah says, riba letami tumas ochlim, imashi riba letami tumas nevelos. We have situations we are more commonly going to have the tuma of ochlim than the tuma of nevelos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ha'alal ha'mekunas, we refer to the strips of small meat, small strips of meat that are still attached to the skin once it was skinned. So if we have that, if somebody went and collected those little strips of meat, so he made it into something significant before the small strips separate they don't have significance, but if you collect them together, yesh bo kazayis b'makom echad, if you have a kazayis in one place, chayav alav, it would be metame tumas nevelos, and accordingly, what does that mean, chayav? There's no iser to become tame per se, but if somebody went to the base of mikdash and he's tame like that, then he would be chayav. That would be a serious avail of tuma in the base of mikdash. Mishnah base, elu sha'oro sehem ki b'sara. Now we're going to continue on the theme that we just said before, and we divide it up between something that is meat. Meat can be metame as long as you have the requisite amount. You can metame other things if it's an avela. On the other hand, we said that skin in of itself is not metame. Only if we aggregate it together with the meat is it going to be metame, but not by itself. But our Mishnah tells us that there are certain types of skins that are going to be soft enough that they are going to act like meat and be able to be metame as well, just as if it was meat. So even if we just have this skin and we have the requisite amount, it will be metame. So Mishnah Bey says, Elush or same kibsar, and these are the ones that the skins are like the meat and can be metame, or ha'adam, the skin of a person, v'or chazir shel yishuv, and a domesticated pig. So apparently his skin is still soft, so it acts like meat and can be metame. Rabbi Yossi Amar af or chazir abar, even a non-domesticated animal lives in the wilderness, its skin is soft enough that it will be metame like meat. V'or chatoterish al gamal haraka, this is the skin on top of the hump of a camel that is soft. Literally, it means it didn't carry heavy loads yet, so it hasn't been callous, so accordingly, it's going to be soft enough to be metame like meat. V'or harosh al egel harach, and the skin that is on the head of a calf that is still soft. V'or haprasos, this is the skin that is right above the hooves on an animal that is still soft. The or base haboshes, this is the skin that's around the private parts of a female animal. The or hashlil, and the skin of a fetus. The or shetachas ha'aliyah, and the skin that is underneath the tail of an animal. These are all soft. The or, and one of any of these four animals that we're about to list, ha'anaka, the hedgehog, va'koach, the chameleon, va'halita, the lizard, va'achomet, and the snail, all of these are four of the eight shrutzim that are listed in Sefer Vayikra. So four of the eight, we consider we consider their skin to be soft enough to act like meat, and they will be metame. We're going to have two other opinions when it comes to these eight. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ha'leta'a kechulda, he takes one, the leta'a, and he moves it to be like the weasel. So he moves it from the list of those that the skins can be metame to the list of those other four that cannot be metame. V'chulan, she'ibdan, and everything that we listed in our Mishnah, if you worked it into leather. So we said all of these skins are soft enough that they can be, that they're going to act like meat and they're going to be transferring tuma. But if you turn them into leather, or shilach b'em kedei avoda, or if you walked on them enough times that it could turn it into leather, so a similar working, to you'd work it to turn it into leather, if you walked on it to turn it into leather, to horim, at that point they are no longer going to be able to transmit tuma like meat, they are going to be non-transmittable. Chutz me'or hadam, the exception on a rabbinic level is the skin of a person that even if you worked on it to turn it into leather, that doesn't matter, it's still going to be betame on a derabanan level. And now we're going to have the third shita when it comes to the eight shratzim. The first shita divided it four and four. The four that we listed, they are going to be metame like meat, the other four are not. And then when Rabbi Yehuda, he took the leta'a, which is the lizard, and he moved it to the list of things that aren't metame. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Shmona Shratzim, Neishlam Oras, these Shmona Shratzim, they literally all have skins, which means they are not going to be like meat. All eight of them are not going to transfer tuma like meat. Meat does, but these, even all eight of the Shratzim, they do not, from their skin, they do not transfer tuma. Mishnah Gimel, now we're going to talk about detaching of skin. So as we mentioned before, if skin is fully detached, the default is that it doesn't transfer tuma. However, meat does, is metame. So a question that we're going to ask about is, what if we're skinning an animal? At a certain point, the skin is going to be off enough, even though it's somewhat attached, but we've taken off enough of it that if you touch the skin, not where the meat is, you're not going to have a transference, a giving and receiving of tuma. So how much do you have to skin off in order to reach that status? So we're talking now about a concept of a yad. A yad means that you touch something that is touching something else, and the other thing is tame. So the yad that you touch is like a hand you are touching as well. If you touch a hand, you're like touching a body. Literally, it's a handle. So because your hand, you're touching the handle, it's something that can be carried together or moved together. Not only are you you're touching the handle, you're going to transfer to the tuma, to the underlying thing that the handle is touching, the body of the meat itself. Or if the meat itself is from an avila, you by touching the yad, for example, the strand of skin that's attached to it, it's going to be metameyu. So hamavshid bebehema uvachai. If somebody is skinning a domesticated animal, a non-domesticated animal, betorah v'tameya, whether it's kosher or not kosher, bedaka v'gasa, whether it's a small animal or a large animal, if the reason that you're skinning it is l'shatiach, you want a large expanse of that skin, for example, you want to use it as a bedspread or a sheet on your bed, or you want to use it as a tablecloth, so that typically that they would skin it from the head going on the back of it downwards, they would skin it in one large piece, going from the head of the animal over the back, skinning the sides together. So kedei achiza is two tfachim. Once you skin off two tfachim, if you would only touch the skin itself that's not attached right there, then that would not be a yad, and there would not be a transference of tumah. But if you skinned off less than that, kedei achiza, less than that two tfachim, then it would be considered a yad, and there would be a transfer of tumah. However, if you're skinning it not for purposes of the shatiach, but ulechemes, which is a canteen made of skin, so you want a certain piece off of it, and this would typically come from the underside of the animal, and you would typically strip the skin off from the neck downwards. So ulechemes, if you want the skin and you're skinning it for purposes of that skin tan canteen, the skin is still going to be considered a yad, that if you touch the skin, it's going to transfer to the meat underneath it, even though it's detached right there. Ad sheyabshit et hachazeh, until you go from the neck all the way down and you skinned off the chest area. Once you've skinned off the chest area, even though it's still attached below that, that is no longer going to be considered a yad. So if you touch the skin that is not touching the meat right there, then there's going to be no transference of tumah. However, if you want that canteen, that skinned canteen, but you're not doing it from the skin, you're not skinning the animal from the neck down, but you're going from the legs up. So that's why it's hamargil. That's from the word of regel, the feet of the animal. Kulo chibor letuma litame uletame. It continues until you skin it from the legs and all the way up, including the chest. So until you skin the chest area, it is considered to be a connection. It is still considered to be a yad litame, to make the tahor meat tame. So if somebody would touch the skin, although it's detached, but it hasn't been fully detached, it hasn't been detached from the chest area. So if somebody, and let's assume the meat is not tame, but the person touching it is tame, it's going to transfer from through the skin, through the yad, to the skin, to the meat underneath. Uletame, if we're talking about the meat of an avela that is tame, and somebody touches the skin, who is that person is not tame, if he has not skinned that skin, he's doing it from the bottom of from the legs all the way up, but he hasn't gone past the chest, he is going to become tame via the yad of the skin, even though it's partially detached. Or shalatzavar. So now that we're talking about somebody who's skinning from the bottom up, and we say in order to not have transfers of tume, you have to skin from the entire chest areas, but it's still attached, truth be told, in the tzavar area. So how about that? Or shalatzavar, don't you have to skin that area as well in order to stop that skin from being a yad? Rabbi Yochanan ben Menuhin Yarmer, eno chibor, that is not considered attached anymore. Once you've gone past the chazeh, once you've gone past the chest, it is considered that skin is no longer attached. So if somebody would touch the skin area, the area that has been detached already, there will be no transfers of tumor back and forth. V'chachamim omrim chibur, ad sheyabshi dekula, chachamim disagree, it is still considered attached until you detach it all the way from the legs through the chest area and the neck area as well. Even if it's dangling above, it's a really attached above, but you've skinned it from the neck area as well, then it's no longer a yad. Mishnah Dalit, we're continuing the same concept, or Shiyesh Alav Kazayis Basar. We have now a skin. It's a skin of an avela, and it's been detached, but it has attached it a kazayis of basar, a kazayis of meat on it, and now we're dealing with a tuma. Ganogea besif hayotzimimen, if somebody would touch that thin shred of meat that is coming out of it. So as we mentioned before, if you have a tiny shred. It's a little strip of skin that comes out. That is considered a yad to the meat itself. And what we have here is that it is touching that kazayis. It's attached to that kazayis of basar, and it's from an avela. So that kazayis of basar is tame. So too, somebody who's going to touch that yad is going to become tame. Ubisa'arasha kenegdor. Not only that, we have another concept called a shomer, something that effectively protects, covers something up, as we'll see a little bit later. An example would be the bone outside and the marrow inside. So the bone is a shomer to the marrow underneath. So the same thing here, we have that skin, and on that skin, opposite where that meat is, that kazayis of meat of the nevela, on the opposite side is a hair that's sticking out. So somebody touches that hair, besara shekenegdo, in each of the situations, tame, the person who was otherwise tahor, once he touches that kazayis of the nevela via the yad or via that shomer, he's going to become tame as well. Hayu alav kishnei chatzi azeis. And we're changing this fact scenario. On that skin, instead of having one kazayis of meat of an avela together, we have two halves. Half a kazayis and half a kazayis, but they're attached to the same skin. Mitame b'masa v'lo b'maga divrei Rabbi Shmuel. If somebody would lift it up because you're carrying together, aggregated, a kazayis of meat of an avela, that person would become tame. That's tumas masa, carrying it, but not tumas maga. So even if he touches both of those two halves of kazayis at the same time, because he's not able to touch it with his same exact place on his body, he's not going to become tame via maga, which is via touching. Rabbi Akiva omer lo b'maga. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. There's no tuma because the two halves of the kazayis are divided, even though they're attached to the same skin, but each one is not significant. Each one is a half and a half. We don't aggregate them together. So not only is there not going to be tame by touching it, but not even when somebody carries it. However, Rabbi Akiva does agree that when somebody has two chatzie gezeisim, so two halves of kazayis that are not attached to the skin, and instead of the skin attaching them, he puts a little piece of wood, for example, a toothpick or something like that, to attach the two, so now they're attached by that small toothpick, and then he moves them, so that's a form of masa, that's tumas masa, that he's going to become tame. So the toothpick will aggregate the two pieces of two halves of a kazayas together, but the skin will not. So why does he distinguish? So why does Rabbi Akiva not have them aggregated together when the two halves are attached to the skin? Because when it comes to the skin, they were part of the skin. The skin is more significant. It nullifies each of them separately. In contrast, when we have something, when they're detached from the skin and you have a toothpick connecting them, it's going to aggregate them together. Mishknehe is going to continue the concept of when we have a shomer, when we have a bone and inside of it is marrow, touching the bone itself, is that going to be metame? You are not. And we're talking about, for example, the marrow is from an avela. So the marrow is tame, but not the bone in of itself. So we're going to start out a little bit different with the ration. We're going to talk about when we have a bone, and the bone itself is going to be able to be metame. The typical that we'll see in the next part, the bone itself is not metame, but here we're talking about the type of bone that is metame, so it doesn't matter that there's marrow underneath. So kolis hameh, so if we have a kolis, that is the type of bone that has marrow in it, but it doesn't matter marrow here. The kolis hamukdashim, or if we have a kolis, we have a bone that is from a korban hanogea behen, if somebody would touch it, bein stubim ben nekuvim, whether the bone is closed, in other words, you don't have access to the marrow underneath, or if it has a hole in it, either way, it's tame. The person is going to become tame. Why? Because the bone itself will make him tame. It doesn't matter that the marrow is tame or not, or you touched it or not. So even if it's closed up, the person is going to become tame from the bone. Kolis nevela v'kolis hasheretz. These bones are different. If we have the bone of a nevela, or the bone of a sheretz, a creepy crawling thing that is one of the eight shrutzim that are discussed in Sefer Vayikra. So if we have the bone of those, these bones act differently. They are not tameim. Only the marrow underneath is what's going to be tame, and the marrow underneath, that's meat, that's basar, that's meat of an avela, that's tame. So accordingly, we have a different analysis. Hanogea behem stumim tar. If somebody would touch these kolis, would touch the bone on the outside, but it is sealed up. There's no hole in it to access the marrow underneath. Only the marrow is tame, not the outer shell. And even though it's typically a shomer, and we'd say if you touch the shomer on the outside, what's inside also will also metame you. But here, because what's in the inside cannot be metame you because there's no access to it, it's enclosed. So too, when you touch the shomer on the outside, it's not going to cause the transfers of tuma. On the other hand, when it comes to the kolis nevela, kolis hasher, it's nekuvim kolshu, even if there's a tiny hole in them, for example, you can only access it by putting a little hair into it, but because the marrow underneath, which is tame, is accessible, accordingly, mitami b'maga, if somebody would only touch the bone on the outside, which is the shomer, in this situation, the person would become tame by touching the shomer because he does have access via the hole to the marrow, which is the meat underneath, which is mitame. Minayin sha'af b'masa, and where do we know that even if the person carry it, meaning we've been talking about tumas maga, that he touched the marrow or he had access to touch the marrow, and accordingly, if you touch the shomer on the outside, the bone on the outside, you're going to be mitame. How do we know that if somebody carried it, that it's also going to be tame when there's a hole in it? Talmud Omar, the Pasuk says the two words together, hanogeya v'hanose. Somebody touches it or somebody carries it, and we learn that when one tame tuma applies, when the touching, the tumas maga applies, then the tumas of the masa will also apply. As shabali klal maga, that when you become tame via touching something, bali klal masa, you will also become tame via carrying it. So if you carried the bone that has the hole in it, you're going to be metame, lo bali klal maga. However, if we have the marrow enclosed in it and there's no hole open, so there's no tumas maga, lo bali klal masa, you also will not become tame by virtue of carrying it. Mishnah Vav is going to talk about now the basar of a sheretz, one of those eight creepy crawling things, and the meat of that, how does tuma work? So now we have a situation, fascinating situation, we'll be talking about a shomer. We talked about the shomer when we have the marrow on the inside, that's tame, that's the meat of the nevela, and it's protected by a shomer on the outside, we have the marrow on the inside, the bone is on the marrow is on the inside, the bone is on the outside. So now we have a parallel when it comes to a sheretz, we have the sheretz, which is an embryo that is dyed, it's formed on the inside, and it's surrounded by an egg. So the egg is the shomer, just like the bone. Beitza sasheretz hamirukemet. So we have an embryo that is formed, it's dead on the inside. Even if somebody touches the shomer, such as the egg on the outside, the eggshell is going to be tachor, because it is encapsulated. Nikva kol shehu tmeya. And again, the same as we saw before, if there's any form of a hole, even a tiny hole, because it's hair accessible, you can put a little hair in and access the embryo, which is tame underneath, then that person is going to be tame just by virtue of touching the eggshell on the outside, the shomer, the person will become tame. Now we have an interesting animal that used to exist at that time. There was a type of sheretz, an achbar, a mouse, shechetzia basar v'chetzia adama, would be created from the ground, and half of it was made of basar. Basar is metame, this is the meat of a sheretz. Somebody touches that, he becomes tame, v'chetzia adama, and part of it is made from the ground. The ground doesn't metame. Ha nogeya b'basar tame. If somebody would touch the meat itself, that is the basar of a sheretz, that is tame ba'adama tame, but if somebody would touch the adama part of it, the ground part of it, he would be tahor. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afanogea ba'adama shekneged ha-basar tame, anyone who would touch the adama as well, because it would turn into basar over time, it died, but it's not going to, but because that adama would turn into basar over time, so even somebody who touched the adama is going to become tame. Mishnah Zayin is a fairly complicated Mishnah. Now we're going to be talking about Tumas Ochlim. And for our Mishnah, where there are two conditions to have something fit in the category of Tumas Ochlim, is number one is it has to be considered Ochel. It has to be considered food. And number two, it has to be Mukhsha L'Kabel Tumah. It has to touch one of the seven liquids like blood or water. And only then, if it's Ochel and it's also Mukhsha L'Kabel Tumah, thereafterward, if something Tame touched it, for example, a dead sheretz, then the food itself would become tame. So that's the background. Another thing is we're going to see three separate scenarios in this Mishnah. Scenario number one is that we're going to have either an aver, which is a limb. A limb is defined as bone, meat, and sinew. So we have an aver that is dangling from an animal, or we're going to have a basar, a piece of meat that is dangling from an animal. That's going to be scenario number one. Scenario number two is that animal that has a dangling aver or a dangling bus, or you do shechita on it. So what's going to happen with what's attached, quasi-attached, dangling there? And number three is you don't have a shechita on that animal, but you have that animal die. What's going to happen in that situation when it comes to tuma? Mishnah Zayin says as follows, ha-aver v'ha-basar ha-midul dalim behema. We have an aver, we have a limb, or we have meat that are dangling. One of them is dangling from an animal, from a behema, but because they are still attached, there's no tumah yet. Accordingly, there's no tumah right now. It's not Avra Minachai. There's no Nevela issue. It's still a live animal. However, Metamim Tumas Ochlim B'Makomam, once the Jew decides this dangling Avra, this dangling meat, I'm going to feed it to a non-Jew. We can't eat it. Didn't have a proper Shechita. Even if there would be Shechita, won't count for the dangling carts. I'm going to feed it to a non-Jew. At that point, it reverts to filling the status of Ochel, even though it's still dangling there, but it is considered food. Utsrichim hechsher. In order for it to become tama, it has to fit the second criteria. It needs to be mukhsha lekabel tuma. So that is going to be the first part of our Mishnah that we are assuming. Once I decide to feed it to a non-Jew, then it becomes ochel. That is going to be important when we get to the end of the... maybe we'll say it right now for simplicity. For Rabbi Shimon Metayer, at the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon is going to tell us, I disagree with this way beginning of this Mishnah. The way beginning of the Mishnah, the Tanakhama said, as soon as I think of it that I'm going to feed it to a non-Jew, then it's going to become the status of food. Rabbi Shimon says it can never be that. Why? Because even if I think I'm going to feed it to a non-Jew, but a non-Jew is prohibited to eat it because it would be aver or bas or min hachai, and that's prohibited to non-Jew as well. So accordingly, it's not ochel according to Rabbi Shimon because the non-Jew can't eat it, and accordingly, it is tachar. It's not, never going to get in a situation that it's going to become tame. Continuing scenario number two, we have that animal. It was alive, and it had either an aver or basar dangling from it, no tumah yet, nishchata behema. The animal has shechted. At this point, that meat or that aver is considered food because it's been shechted already. Hushru b'damecha, divrei Rabbi Meir. In order for it to become tameh, it has to be mukhsha lekabel tumah. That's when it will have the tumah, tumas ochlim. But it is considered food now because it was shechted while it was still somewhat attached. It's not aver minachai. Rabbi Shimon Omer lehochshu. Rabbi Shimon, a detail. He says it is food, I agree, but it's not mukhsha lekabel tumah. The Rabbi Meir is telling us that it's mukhsha lekabel tumah. Why? Because of the shechita. The shechita, when you do a shechita, blood comes out. It's machshir the entire animal, including what's dangling. Rabbi Shimon is telling us, I agree, it's considered food. It's not aver minachai, because it was still attached when the shechita was done. However, this is the wrong type of blood, so it's not machshirit. So in order for this food to become tame, first it has to be mukhsha from some other liquid, and then it has to come in contact with something that's tame. Scenario number three, we have this animal. It's got the meat, or it's got the aver that are dangling, mesa beima, and now the animal dies. This is an important concept that we have to introduce now, discussed in the Gemara. There is based on a pasuk, Misa Osanipol. When you have not a shechita, but when you have a death of an animal and something was dangling on it, the concept of Misa, death, makes it as if it fell, means that we look at it as if the dangling parts fell off right before death. So they fell off right before death. If that's the case, if we're talking about Basar, if it fell off right before death, then it's going to be something that is a food. It's going to be considered a food. But an aver, because it fell off right before death, that is aver minachai. It came off when the animal was still alive, and accordingly, that's going to present another problem of tuma. So here as follows. Mesa beima. This animal that had either dangling meat or dangling aver, it died on us before shechita. Habasar tzarech hechsher. The basar, because misa osanipo, we look at it as the meat fell off before death, that is considered food. In order to become tame, it needs to be mukhsha lekabel tuma. Once it's mukhsha lekabel tuma, it can become tuma. It can be tame when something tame touches it. On the other hand, when it comes to aver, the aver, when, because we say misos and nipo, that aver fell off when the animal was still alive, that is metame mishum aver minachai. It is metame like aver minachai. Aver minachai is metame like aver minachai. It causes there to be tuma. However, ve'eno metame mishum aver nevela diva Rabbi Meir. However, because it came off before death, we don't view this aver as having come from a nevela. Nevela is after death. This aver came off. So this aver can be metame like aver minachai, but not like Aver of an Avela, they have a slight difference in their tumas that they caused. Rabbi Shimon Mitar, the Rabbi Shimon, we explained already that he's disagreeing with the Reisha of our Mishnah. Mishnah Ches, we have two similar scenarios. In the prior Mishnah, we had three scenarios. We had the dangling limbs from the live animal, then we had a shchit on it, and we had the death of the animal. Here, when it comes to a person, we're talking about a person. Now, we're only going to have scenarios one and three, because number two, a shchita, we don't shech people. Mishnah Ches, Aver v'habasar hamidul. When we have either the aver that's hanging on to a person, or we have the basa that's hanging on, dangling from the person, tahorim, there is, it's still attached, so there's no tuma, there's no tuma semes involved here. Mace, but what happens, mace adam, when this person passes away, we're going to apply misa osa nipul, habasa, mace adam, habasa tahor. So accordingly, because we say that the basar fell off right before death, that meat is going to be viewed as detached. It's detached before death. There's no tuma on the meat. However, when it comes to ha'aver, because we say miso senipa, we view it as if it fell off right before death. Ha'aver metame mishum aver minachai. It is going to be metame because it's aver minachai, which causes tuma. Ve'eno metame mishum aver minames. However, we don't view it as if it's aver minames. We view it as it fell off beforehand, not after death. So it's the type of tomb of Aver Minachai. That is the opinion of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon Mitar. Rabbi Shimon says it's Tahar. This is a complicated machlokas. It's not what it looks like, and we're going to go through it. I actually did a whole chart on this, so I'll read you through the chart because we can't do this visually. So Aver Minachai, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon agree that it's Tameh. Aver Minachai, we say Misa Osenipo, we look at it as if before the person died, the Aver fell off. Aver Minachai is Metame, they both agree to that. In addition, when it comes to two generations down, I'll explain what it means now. We have Aver Minachai, and once that Aver comes off from the Chai, that Aver is Metame, how about if things fall off of it? So the Aver Minachai is the first generation. Second generation, what happens if we have meat that falls off from that Aver Minachai, or if we have like a piece of bone that falls off from that Aver Minachai? In the second generation down, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon would agree that it's Tahor, the meat or the bone that falls off of Aver Minachai would be Tahor. Where's the Machlokas? The Machlokas is as follows. What happens if we have Aver Min Hames? If we have a limb that fell off something that was dead already. So that's first generation down. Both would agree that that's Tameh. That's first generation. But second generation is, what happens when we have meat or bone that falls off the Aver Min Hames? Not the Aver Min Achai, but the Aver Min Hames. And here is where we have our machlokas. The Rebbe Meir says, even though it's second generation down, but because it came from a mace, it's going to be Tameh. And Rebbe Shimon is of the view, second generation down from a mace is going to be Tahor.